Blog Talk Radio.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice, fair use, successful crowdfunding, how to ask for music rights, and what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. And Carol Dean is the 2012 Lifetime Achievement Award recipient from the Women's International Film and Television Symposium. She's also the president of From the Heart Productions and the author of The Art of Film Funding, second edition, and the author of The Art of Manifesting, Creating Your Future. And Carol, today let's talk about the art of manifesting, especially as it relates to filmmakers. First, I know that you'll soon be starting your next Intentional Filmmakers class, and I understand that this is a small group of people that you work with in class and also with them in personal consultations as well that you do. You mentor them over about a five-month period to help them finance their films. So could you tell us a little more about that?
Yes, thank you so much, Claire, and thank you for the lovely introduction. The purpose of the Intentional Filmmakers group is to use our minds as well as our to-do lists to create films and bring abundance into our lives, because we truly are more than our physical bodies. We are powerful beings, and it's time that we start using our full capacity to make our lives happier and make our films faster. I was teaching my book around the country, around the world, actually, and one-day seminars, and it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. However, I always felt like it was a hit-and-run thing. You know, I would come in, tell you what you have to do, give you 5,000 things, and leave. And that is not that's not working in my book. If anyone got 10% and carried that home and did it, they probably benefited. But the only way to do this, I believe, is to get involved and to know you, know your purpose as a filmmaker and your essence as a being and what your film is all about, so that I can really work with you on a personal basis. So by putting together a group of people to work for 5 months, it helps. It allows us to break through the ceilings and the restrictions in our head that we feel we can't do this, or to overcome the resistance we put on ourselves when we go to do our art. People say, oh, I can't do that yet because I haven't cleaned the house, I haven't done the dishes, I haven't washed the clothes. Whatever your resistance is, the job is, we're all faced with that. We know that's part of life, overcoming resistance to create art. And that's what we do in our class. We use these a lot of the secrets, and that's what I want to go over with everyone today. Sorry. I want to clear up a lot of misconceptions and explain to people how simple this is. Rhonda did a great show called The Secret, and she brought us a lot of great information. And again, yes, it's all compacted in that film, right?
Yes, it is.
So I'm trying to get us to clearly understand there are some major tips that you need to use. And when it's certain ingredients that go into this, and when you put them all together, magic happens. So the real purpose of this Intentional Filmmakers group is to use our minds. All right, because that can help as much as our to-do list. Knowing that we can achieve what we set out to do is paramount. So the secrets to manifesting, all of these go together like the ingredients in a good pie, but you need to, all of them, to make it something really wonderful. So focus is the first key to success. Focus. Well, what are you going to focus on? Clearly defining goals. This is paramount. Mm-hmm. A clear definition of what you want to achieve. You create your to-do list under your goals. You write out your goals, and then under it, you write what you have to do to make those goals happen. And then you have to monitor yourself during the process and keep checking on where you are versus what you set out to do, because you might want to make mid-course corrections, and that's accepted. No problem with that, but recognize that it is very important.
So, Carol, what I hear you saying is you need to go back and revisit the goals and the list of things that you plan to do to achieve those goals periodically to make sure you're still staying on course, but also to adjust in places where, with new information and new insights that may have come along the way, get to be integrated into the process. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And you can adjust your goals up or down, sideways, or anything you need to do. But you've got to be, this is important, Claire, what you said, daily. I say you write your goals out, you paste them on the mirror, right where you comb your hair, and you have to see them on a daily basis. So you read them in the morning and you read them at night. And hopefully you're reading them out loud, because there's power in words. And they have to be, you have to pretend it's already happened. And what we also do in our classes, we, during these 5 months classes, we listen to Stuart Wilde's CD and his book on miracles. I highly recommend that. And okay. We go into Lynn McTaggart's book, The Field. And then we use teachings from Dr. Chopra and Amit Goswami. All of these things keep supporting our belief in intentions, you see. We do everything we can to shore up the mind, to assure it that we can do this because quantum physics says it's true. Lynn McTaggart's book, The Field, talks about nothing is set. It's all jello out there in the future. You can set your intentions and achieve what you want. All of these people are saying the same thing. So by listening to that on a weekly basis, it gives us more confidence that what we think we can do, we can do.
Mm-hmm. So where do we begin with all of this? How do we start?
Well, first we need to start with the definition of manifesting. That is important. Exactly, what does that mean? It means to see clearly, not hidden from sight. Should be readily perceived by the eye or the understanding. It has to be evident, obvious, apparent, and plain. So, you don't say, I wish I could, I would love to, I hope to. No, none of that. It is apparent. It is plain. It is the first tip here on creating your future and manifesting what you want is to choose it. You choose what you want. And let's say that you choose a goal. You've got to be able to see it, feel it, and know you can do it. You've got to be very clear on what you want, because this becomes your daily focus. And you have to feel, you have to feel into it, Claire, and say, yes, I can do that. I have, how many months? I have 6 months. I have a year. In our class, we are working for 5 months, and we do that. So here's an example. Let's just say that you want to raise $20,000 during the class. Or, so you say that by February, this is when your goal should happen, but you pretend it's already happened. You say, I raise $20,000 for my film.
Okay, and that's past tense, as in I raised
It's present. I raise 20,000.
Okay, present time.
And you have to pretend it's happened. You have to live and feel as if your goal is reached. Now, going back to Stuart Wilde, he will say to you that if you want to be wealthy, hang out where the wealthy people go. Go to an expensive restaurant, have a cup of coffee. Go to Saks and walk around. Be part of it. Feel like you belong there, because you've got to overcome a lot of pre-programming that you don't even know is there. So you have to feel you deserve it. Because sometimes, remember, I've been working with filmmakers for many years on this issue of raising money, and sometimes they are their worst enemy because they don't feel they deserve it. That can be knowing or unknowing. So always you have to look inside first to see, do I really deserve to raise $20,000? Will people trust me? Of course they will. And will I use this on the film? Of course I will. So, yes, I deserve it. So you have to work on yourself also.
Right.
But
so
let's go back.
Clearing up the backstory. Whatever backstory a person has about themselves needs to be found and worked with in that way.
Absolutely. And you will get that if you just give yourself 15 minutes a day of your own quiet time. No phones, no interruptions. It's either a walking meditation, a sitting by yourself in the quiet, or a true meditation. Anything you want to do. But 15 minutes a day is not a lot to give to yourself. And during that time, you can release so much out of your mind and get clear on your thoughts, because the mind is the key issue in all of this. It's your mind that can fund your film. So let's go back and say that now you say, I raise $20,000 for my film. Next, you will say how you're going to do that. So, for example, you might say, my funding party raised over $8,000. Pick a number, all right? Then what you do is, how am I going to have a funding party? What's my outline? Well, in the book, The Art of Film Funding, of second edition, I have 43 things. That is your checklist for creating a funding party. So that's all written down and easy for you to do. And then, of course, Maury Warshawski has a wonderful little book called The House Raising Funding Party. It's on MauryWarshawski.com's website. So what you do is you ask people to support you. So you... the first thing you have to do, the funding party, is make a list of, say, 10 people that you think might let you have their house and invite their friends. And then you need to create an ask and send something to them to ask them to let you have a funding party. Then you offer to bring the refreshments, and you write on your to-do list, you have to write an invitation for the host to mail out, and you start with everything that you can think of that you're going to have to do for this party, and you make a list. You can call the caterers, and you get discounts or your fiscal sponsorship. You invite other filmmakers to be at the party, because people love to meet filmmakers. And the filmmakers can help you by pitching for the film, right?
Right.
I went to a fundraising party one time, and I was chatting with a lot of people, and finally I was tired, so I went and sat down next to a man who was looking at the trailer. And I started watching the trailer with him, and I said, you know, just look at the hours and hours of work that went into that trailer. There she is. She's in Vegas. Oh, my God, she's in New Orleans, and that's New York. Look at that. A brilliant trailer. And the guy started looking at me and asking me questions, and then he began to realize what work went into the trailer. And oddly enough, he was the highest donor that night. All right? Because just simple statements like that that we all, in the film industry, we all take it for granted. Oh, here's the trailer. And we think you're going to know that we have maybe 300 hours of our life invested in the planning and manipulating to get to this point. No, they don't. So filmmakers can share that information for you. There are lots of fun things to do when you're having a funding party. You can, and so that I'm not going to go any further with the funding party because I love them. They work, they're lots of fun, and this is creating a core group around you to support you. And then the next thing you might list, because you've only got 8,000 and you want 20, you might list an Indiegogo campaign. All right. So there's lots of work to do on this one. And you may say, I will get 10,000 from my Indiegogo campaign. So you have to list a to-do list under your Indiegogo campaign. I know this because we have a partnership with Indiegogo and have been supporting filmmakers almost 3 years now with running campaigns. Mm-hmm. So I have a whole list and of tons of information for educating filmmakers on Indiegogo. And then the third thing might be 101 S. All right, so you only have $2,000 left. So you might put $2,000 for 101 S, where you ask someone to donate to your film and they give you a nice check. So this is where I'm saying that you might have to reconnect or have midpoint changes, because you might raise $10,000 in your funding party, right? And so then you go back and you can change things.
And so when you change things, you mean change how you do it for another party?
You could change your number and say, great, now I've got 10. So I'll still go after. Can I reach the 20? Yeah, I can reach 20. I think I might even reach 22 or 23. So that could be a mid-course correction.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. And then, of course, in the class, you go into details about the funding parties and some of the things that you can do during the party in your presentation that will support the motivation and interest of the donors, right?
Absolutely. And we do that sometimes in the class, sometimes we do that on the one-on-one consultations, because I do give 10 classes, and they're an hour and a half each. And then we have 5 one-hour consultations. And those are a lot of fun, because then you can bring your specific film, and we talk about a funding party based on that film, what you'll do and how you do it. So it gets complicated when you have 10 different filmmakers in the class and they're all doing different films. But it's really pretty easy when it's one-on-one and I can help you with exactly what to do for your own Indiegogo campaign, your one-on-one ask, how to make that ask, etc. It's all tailored to your own needs, just like you would be doing to raise your money. But the point is, we're back to manifesting in your goal. It's all about the success of hitting your goal. You have to know you can do it. You have to feel that you set a goal you can achieve. So maybe you got a $200,000 budget, okay, and you say, "So, oh my gosh, well, 20 is too little." No, it's not. 20 is a good number. Maybe you don't need 5 months. Maybe you only need 3. But you have to start with goals that you know you can achieve, because success is part of this whole factor. You have to do something that you are successful at, and that creates more confidence.
Gotcha. How many things can you have on your goal list?
Well, I think, as you can see from just this one $20,000 goal, it's a lot of follow-through, that you have a lot to do. So you have to be careful. Don't ask for the moon, and the stars, but take one star at a time. I think that if you had 3 goals, that would be a lot. based on your time. If you've got a full-time job and you're doing this part-time, then I would say probably one goal. If your whole life is make this film, then you might be able to do two or three. But be realistic. That's why I make you do the to-do list after you make the request to the universe for what you want to manifest. The next thing is, where's the time involved? You have to make a total time commitment to do this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Are you still giving the free download of your ebook, The Art of Manifesting, on your website, Carol?
Yes, I do. I have that. And so people can go to fromtheheartproductions.com and get that.
Great. Okay. Now, you have a quote from Dr. Wayne Dyer, which I really love. And I want to share that because it really applies to everything we're talking about here. By banishing doubt and trusting your intuitive feelings, you clear a space for the power of intention to flow through. And that's from Dr. Wayne's material called The Power of Intention. Would you address that?
Oh, my gosh, he's so right. You see, fear is our biggest enemy. And that's why we have to keep listening to the gurus, the Chopras, the McTaggarts, and the Wayne Dyers, who tell us that we can break through all of this bad programming and achieve our happier lives and financial wealth. There's nothing to stop us except ourselves. We have to realize that. So he's spot on. What happens, you see, is that when you will something, I think willpower and intention are very similar because both come from your innate ability to attract things to you and to achieve your goals.
Okay, good. Well, do you recommend vision boards? Those are very powerful tools as well.
Yes, I think they are. This Chicken Soup for the Soul author, Jack Canfield, tells a story of moving to a new house and opening a box with a picture of that new house on a vision board that he had created years before. Amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
It does work.
I've done vision boards, too, in the past. And many, many years ago, for a very long time, I was doing on-camera work and voiceover work, and I had never done live broadcast radio, never even thought about it. But one day, I was in a little bookstore, and there was a deck of cards where, each card would have a little saying and offer a little prophetic idea to plant in your mind. And a card fell out of the deck when I picked it up, and it talked about radio, broadcast radio, and a saint that was known as the saint of the airwaves, which was Saint Clair, actually, with Saint Francis of Assisi.
Yes, Saint Clair.
Yes, and I looked at the card, and then I looked at the salesperson at the counter because it was a demo that was on the counter there. And she said, "Oh, that card must be for you." And she didn't even know my name. "That card must be for you. You keep that card." So I put it on my vision board at home. And this was 2 years later that I ended up in live broadcast radio.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So basically, a vision board, you can probably Google that and find out more about it. But basically, you put on, you get a board, a certain size, whatever you want. You can frame it if you like, and then put pictures that you get from your magazines of the house, the car, the film, the checks. You can make checks and put them on there saying, to Mary Smith for the film ABC, and then have $100,000 on there. That really is powerful. I spoke to Jack Canfield because I was at a funding party in his house. And so we got to talking. He took me in the back, showed me his wife's art, and it's beautiful. And then he opened up and he said, when they moved into the house – that they had no furniture at all. It's a giant house in Montecito. He said, we have maybe five pieces of furniture or something. Now they had so much furniture and art that they had a warehouse where they rotate it from the house to the warehouse and back. So, you know, he made his intention to sell a million books, I think it was, of The Chicken Soup for the Soul. Now, one of the things on his to-do list was advertising. So a woman came up to him. He was at a book signing or something where a woman came up to him and said, what about advertising? And she talked to him about advertising in the Enquirer, and he did it, and his sales went through the roof. So this is the most important part about this. When you ask for something, Universal will send you helpers. And when that helper walks up and says, well, have you thought about this, or would you like to do this? Don't say, no, I can't afford that. Well, why not? How much is it going to cost? Find out. You've been asking for help. Somebody sent it to you, so pay attention. That's the most important thing, right?
Oh, yes. So tell us about the Pair Research Program.
Well, I just found this to be an incredible situation. And this only tells you more about the power of intention. It's very interesting that there's a guy named Robert Jan and Brenda Dune, and they started creating a random event generator program, all right? So it's called the PAIR, Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research Program. So their intent was to continue Dr. Ryan's work on extrasensory perception. And so they decided to make something with computers so they could increase the number of studies and make it more manageable. So what they did was they set up machines to come up with the normal 50-50 average of I's and O's from this computer. So the rational model said that any deviation from 50-50 would be abnormal. So then they put people at the machines and told them to visualize or intend the machines to achieve either more I's or more O's. And the researchers were stunned when they had a 52-48 average over the results of the trials. Now, this went on for 12 years. They did an immense trial to prove that their numbers were accurate. And actually, they took people off the street, as well as they took people who had what they thought might be some powers of intention or ESP or whatever. But the numbers still came back with people off the street that you can intend and make a machine change. That is an incredible feat. So if our minds are that powerful, first of all, you better start talking nice to your car and your computer because they are important. But second, the key is to understand the power of intention and the power of your mind, because that is your greatest asset in your life. And learning that, using that, is what I'm wanting you to pick up and understand. So now, what's even more interesting to me is that there was a French man named René Pioche, who decided to conduct an experiment to see if he could use this ability to control computer-driven machines by other living creatures. So he decided to use baby chicks, and he put a robot in there that he programmed to be the chick's mother. So, and it was to move randomly outside the cage. And when the results were tallied, the chicks were actually able to attract the robot mother to them. In other words, the robot stopped moving randomly and it moved towards the chicks more than it was programmed to. All right? Then he said, okay, if you can attract, can you repel? He did that too. He created an obnoxious light and some noise that aggravated some rabbits. And he put this right outside their cages. And the results showed that the rabbits were successful in causing the robot to move away more than it was programmed to. So there you have it. It's not only people, it's animals too. We all have this ability. So you're not alone.
Great, great. Well, you know, there's another quote that I think really fits this conversation, and it's in Carlos Castaneda's book, A Separate Reality. He says, intent is not a thought or an object or a wish. Intent is what can make a man succeed when his thoughts tell him that he is defeated. It operates in spite of the warrior's indulgence. Intent is what makes him invulnerable. Intent is what sends a shaman through a wall, through space, to infinity. And that's Carlos Castaneda, A Separate Reality.
Absolutely right. This is one of the most powerful statements. It's so simple. Because intention is another word for your willpower. Haven't you heard people say, he willed it so. He achieved great things because he willed it so.
Mm-hmm. Or sheer willpower. That's another expression.
Yes.
Using willpower.
Yes, and that's what we do. You set an intention, and you focus on it. You have a goal. Intention is clear, easy to understand, not hidden from sight, obvious. Then you have your to-do list, and then you have your focus, daily focus. You read it every day so that you are on track. And you think, well, that's a lot of time. No, it's not. Not when you can get the goodies that are waiting for you when you start using these abilities. When I built, no kidding, I built a $50 million a year industry from willpower. The fact that was that it never dawned on me that I couldn't build a $10 million a year business without financing. I just did it. And every time I needed money, I found a way to find it or get a loan at the bank or buy a machine or talk to Fuji for more credit or whatever. There was always a way. And thank God I didn't study business in college, because if I'd gotten hung up on a business plan, I would have said, oh, there's no way I can do this. I've got to have $200,000 or $300,000 for inventory alone. But it all worked for me. And I really had a good time building that business. So this is one reason why I really love to work with filmmakers, because they are all artists. And 70% do not have any real business experience. So I can fill that gap for them, and I love doing that. So it's a lot of fun to me. And Carlos is right. If you have nothing else from this call and listening to this show, realize that intent is what makes you invulnerable. You can do anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, another thing that you talk about is you say that you move out of the collective unconsciousness to create your future. That's something that may be a little elusive to most people. Can you explain this, what you really mean by that?
Yes. Well, Carl Jung says that there is a collection of all the thoughts of people who've lived before us. And those thoughts are like a cloud hanging above us, you know, and it is called the collective unconscious. So when somebody says that they sailed around the world in a month, and we know that can't be done. We check our database and say, oh, you can't do that. So to really manifest, you've got to move out of that collective consciousness and create your own set of knowledge. Right, Claire?
Yes, I think that would be, you know, and you know, that's not an easy thing to do, because we're going over our own history individually and then the collective as well. So how can people change their way of thinking and be open to manifesting?
Well, that's, we go back to the daily routine. You have to be focused every day And I suggest that you buy Lynn McTaggart's audio tapes on the field, and you listen to, if you can find Stuart Wild's Miracles audio tape. You need those things to listen to in your car when you're driving, to keep assuring you and opening your mind to what your potential is. Or you can do Wayne Dyer. Some just keep listening to the possibilities and how they're endless for what you can achieve. But then if you want to take some concepts from quantum physics, you remember that everything is energy, and energy is everything. So if we are energy, then our thoughts are energy. So in order to track what you want, you need to be in the mindset that it has already happened. You have to feel this energy that you want to achieve. So let's say that you decide you can raise $50,000 for your film. You need to feel as if you've already achieved it and that your film is finished. And so don't expect this to come from any special source. It usually doesn't. Just know it will come. This is what I've always found. I think that to get something, if I do A, B, C, D, I will get it. That's true. I do get it. But it didn't come from the most logical source. It comes from an outside source, and usually from one that you didn't expect. But you went to that networking party. You answered that email from the old friend and told them what you were doing. Because when you start using this, the energy, remember, everything is energy. You start attracting energy to help you do what you need to do. And it seems that it's magical, but it does happen.
Okay. Wow. Well, yeah, and the idea that everything is energy is you know, a new concept for some people. But when you think about it, everything starts from a spark. And develops from there, just like ideas, just like intention. So I know that you have a blog on how to manifest miracle, how to manifest miracles, and you talk on a lot of things about your blog. Would you cover a little bit of that for us as well?
Oh, sure. One of the things that I think you might find interesting, Claire, is that words are manifestors. Everything that you say and think, you are manifesting. So the trick is to manifest what you want, not what you don't want. So Adrienne Gould has a blog on our website, and she says that the difference between an affirmation and a declaration is slight but powerful. She says that a declaration sometimes is to state an official intention out loud, and then that takes on a particular course of action. But a declaration is not saying something is true. It's just stating that we have an intention of doing or being something. So when you declare your intention aloud each morning and each evening, and if you do it when you're looking in a mirror, it accelerates the process even more. And even Adrienne says when she heard this, she said, oh, no way, this is too hokey for me. But because she didn't have any money at the time, she decided, what the heck, I'd rather be hokey than to be poor.
Yes.
But this woman has manifested more things than anyone I've ever known in my life, Claire. She is fantastic. And she's the one that taught me how to write out my goals and my intentions from the heart, and I have watched myself achieve them. 2 years in a row, I've excelled what she helped me write out because of her analytical way of doing it, because she makes you face what it is you have to do to get what you want, and you are very clear.
Now, I remember we actually did an interview with Adrienne Gould.
Yes.
Well, I think it was probably 2 years ago. So
it's still on there.
Right. It should be in the on-demand episode section of your show for Blog Talk Radio and you know, the Art of Film Funding. So if anybody wants to go and hear that interview, go back through the on-demand episodes. You might even come across some other interviews that you think you would like to listen to as well in case you missed them. And you will also find Adrienne's interview in there as well. So, Carol, tell us about how words are part of our DNA.
Well, there's a brilliant Australian author named Brendan Murphy, and he has really compiled a lot of good information for us about language. And he says that based on research, human language seems to have emerged from the grammatical structures within our own DNA. So we know as artists that words are really important. They're the most critical thing for our films, for our written material and our pitches. So finding the right words to touch people's heart and engage people to donate and support our projects is really paramount to our success. So what's so important to me about this information that it supports what we think we know, and it assures us that we're correct in taking care to choose the right words to reach our audience. Because if we're all coded with words, then our job is to resonate with each other through these words. So words that create visions, feelings, emotion, and bring our art to life in another human being. So this means phrases like, I hope to, or I would like to, should be totally dropped. And it should be, I am creating my film. I am making a film. So watching your words can improve your finances.
Mm-hmm. And how you write as well. There are a lot of things that, you know, we think in terms of words that we speak, but also how we write makes a difference too, whether we're journaling or sending an email to someone.
He also says that we can alter our own genetics by simply using words and sentences that has been experimentally proven, he said. So that means to me that by repeating each day such sayings such as, I am truly blessed, can benefit you. And I really think that we should do that on a daily basis. Say, I am truly blessed, because believe me, you are. When you meet filmmakers who are directors, producers, writers, come on. I mean, that is an astonishing array of creativity. So, yes, you are truly blessed. So say that on a daily basis and enhance your own love for yourself. That's really important, because when you walk in a room of people and you're looking to raise money and you have to start talking about your film, you better look like a professional. You have to show you have integrity and you are trustworthy and you are a producer, a powerful being. People want to be attracted to people like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. I do agree. Now, there are preconceived ideas that people have when they start stepping into doing this manifesting work. How do you get people to let go of some of the preconceived ideas that don't serve them in this work?
Well, we work on that, but one of the things I have to tell you about is Chopra says that if you talk to people who work in aquariums, they'll tell you that when fish are separated from each other in glass tanks with a transparent partition between them, that will prevent the fish from moving to one tank to the other or from one side of the tank to the other. When you take that partition out and they have the whole tank to move in, they will not go to the other side of the tank because they have made a commitment in their body, mind, and they believe that that's as far as they can go. So he says that our sensory apparatus, like those of the fish, develops as a result of our initial childhood experiences and how we are taught. So if someone tells you, well, you can't raise $300,000 to make a film, how can you do that? See, that affects your nervous system, and it reinforces many things that might have been said before. So it's building on that. And it is called a premature cognitive commitment, all right? So this we do. We come in, we create these premature cognitive commitments, and I run into it daily in filmmakers when I talk to them, and they tell me they want to raise money. So I say, okay, well, here are some suggestions. And we start talking, no, Mary told me she did that. She didn't make any money. Well, what about grants? I hear that. No, no. My friend John tried for 2 years to get a grant. He never did. Okay. This person will not swim to the other side of the fish tank, right?
That's what it sounds like, yes.
They have set up this premature cognitive commitment. So you have to watch that kind of stuff in your own life. So I think it's really important that we recognize that sometimes we hold on to this stuff that other people tell us. And you can't do that. You have to put yourself in what I call a bubble. Put yourself in a bubble. And that bubble is success, joy, and achievement. Mm-hmm. And you can. You are on a track. And you know where you're going and what you're going to achieve in your life. And when people say, but you can't do that, then to yourself you might say, just watch me. But to them you'll say, well, thank you so much for your help and your support. And keep on going. Don't take that
right.
into your consciousness, right?
And take your bubble with you.
And take your bubble
wherever
with you.
You
live
go.
In that bubble, yes. And you'll be safe in there.
Now, you have a lot of information on your website about these things that you teach and your blog, etc. Let's get that website out again, just in case anybody still needs to write that down.
Yes,
so that
is it
is. FromTheHeartProductions.com. Once again, that's FromTheHeartProductions.com. And now I know Carol.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Claire, for this show and for all of your information. And I really invite filmmakers to get on the website just and read what you can, read the blogs, and use your mind to fund your film, because it's possible. You just have to know it in your heart to find that belief and faith in yourself. And if you're interested in working with us in that class, well, the class is fully outlined, and it's called the Intentional Filmmaking Class. We do features with Tom Malloy, and I do the documentary group by myself, and you're all welcome. We want to take on films that are unique and make a contribution to society, and I'm sure your film will fit that. And I want you to check out when we have the next Roy Dean Film Grant, because that is 3 times a year. It's April 30th, June 30th, and September 30th.
Okay. And that they will find on the website as well at FromTheHeartProductions.com, correct?
Yes. Applications and full information.
Wonderful. Carol, there is so much more to talk about. I'd love for us to have another conversation on this so we can talk about some of the other stuff that we knew we wanted to try to get out in this conversation. So perhaps we'll do that again soon. But in the meantime, this has been great. Oh, my gosh. And some of it's been review for me because I know you, but also new information that I know I'm going to use as well. So thank you so much for all that you do, Carol, for all the good work. And not only am I blessed, as you have said, that I would say when I look in the mirror, I would say I'm blessed. I would also say so are you, Carol, and everyone who works
Thank
with you.
You.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Take
All
good
right,
care.
Claire.
Many blessings.
Thank you so much. Lots of love to everyone. Bye.
Thanks. Be well.
I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.